Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Morning and good morning and welcome to the studio, Laura.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I was thinking about it on my way in this morning, thinking, how am I going to introduce Laura? And I was thinking about the information that you sent me and I thought, man, I'm just going to have to ask her to do it. So so you're not quite a doctor, but you're working towards tell me that.
A doctor. Oh my gosh. I wish. So I am working towards my LPC, which is a licensed professional counselor.
Oh, okay.
And so I just finished up my 2 years of supervision. So I've had three wonderful supervisors that I've been working with since I graduated 2 years ago with a master's in clinical mental health. I've always had an interest in nutrition. I actually had majored in dietetics for 2 years with my bachelor's degree like 20 years ago.
Okay.
But kind of wasn't real happy with it. So I switched to geology, because that was a natural, next
very
step.
Very related.
but I've kind of come full circle back to that because as I've been working with people with some mental health challenges, I've found that really their lifestyles and the events that happen to them are really what is causing their angst. And it's not, and diet and nutrition certainly play a huge role in that.
Absolutely.
So I swore after my master's, I was never to go back to school again. So naturally 9 months after that, I signed up for a nutritional therapy practitioner program. So I'll be able to incorporate that when I finish that into my private practice.
Man.
To work with people.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I'm addicted to school. I need an intervention.
But it sounds like, it sounds like it makes sense. And from some of the other information that you shared with me, that geology information probably plays a role in it too. Cause you mentioned briefly, soils and soil health and what's available in the soils that translate into the plants that people eat. So I'm sure we'll get into all of that, but before we jump into all of those specifics, I also always like to ask my guests a little bit of background information about themselves. And since the show is Ag Matters, tell us a little bit about your relationship to Alaskan agriculture and or food.
So I have a huge respect for people who can grow things because I cannot.
Right.
I really struggle with the garden. I do okay with hanging baskets. I have born and raised in Alaska.
Okay.
It was in Anchorage, I always came out here to horse shows and stuff in Palmer, and I just loved it out here. It was just, there's farms and there's cattle grazing and, it's beautiful.
And
I don't have a lot of knowledge about plants, and I wish I did.
Okay.
I appreciate this show, especially because I've been able to go back and listen to the recorded sessions and learn about the people who are experts and growing things up here and who understand soil and plants and things like that, because at the end of the day, we're all consumers. And so I'm kind of approaching agriculture as from a consumer perspective, because I want to know what's in my food. I want to know what's in my animals' food. And so, and one of the things that I've learned in being a horse owner is when I first moved my horses home and I was buying local hay, I wanted to know what was in it.
Yeah.
And I would contact different farmers, and what ended up happening is I would only end up buying hay from the farmers who had a hay analysis done, because it's kind of rare. And my understanding was that there was a local analysis place, and that went away, and so now you have to ship your hay out of state and get it tested. And it's not that it's hugely expensive, but it's just another thing that everybody would have to do. But I think from the consumer perspective, it's really important.
Yeah.
So whether you're raising goats for milk or cattle for meat, or just having, like I have my horses, I'm not going to eat, they're for my own pleasure, for riding. But Alaska's a tough place to have livestock.
Absolutely.
And I feel that it's a responsibility for every, if you own the animals, to take care of them the best to your ability. Because it's a harsh place, especially the winters. I think they deserve to we transplanted them here, so there's kind of a responsibility to them in that.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And I know when I worked at the Division of Agriculture, that was a complaint or a concern that we would hear from consumers often was, why don't more hay producers get nutritional analysis done? Why doesn't the Division of Agriculture do something to help them with that? You know, could we provide grants so that there was no cost for them to get their hay analyzed? It is something that we've, you know, we talked about a lot, and certainly an issue in the industry. And I have heard that it's getting a little bit better, that more producers are getting analysis done, and more producers are wrapping bales and using different techniques. So hopefully there's some improvement in that part of the industry. Mm-hmm. So another thing that you mentioned in the writing or in our communication before the show was something to do with equine therapy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So tell me about that.
After I graduated, basically, when you go through a program, you might learn something about play therapy. There's different modalities within mental health, and which is great because there's not a one size fits all model. And so for kids, play therapy is great.
Sure.
It's more appropriate, I would say.
Yeah.
So this is just another model, and it's an internationally recognized model. And people think, they always ask me, well, how does it work? You're just standing out in a field or an arena with horses, and the horses are loose. They don't have halters on. It's a herd, and it's how they interact with each other. Because they are a prey animal, they tend to mirror what's going on, internally with us. So, people, are real superficial with each other. So if you're having a bad day and I'm like, oh, hey, Amy, how's it going? And you're like, oh, I'm fine. I'll probably believe you because what you're showing is not really, but what's not really happening on the inside. So horses, you can't lie to a horse.
Okay.
So they know.
Yeah.
So they tend to react to what's really going on inside.
Okay.
And the other part of it too is I think it works a little bit better when people aren't familiar with horses.
Okay.
Because if you're standing out in the middle of a field with a couple thousand pound animals, it's pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
So there's an instant vulnerability, mm-hmm. which is what you have to get to with mental health, with therapy. You have to be vulnerable. You have to be able to go there, go deep and get to the,
the root
get
of
to
the
dark side. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it tends to happen a little bit more quickly.
Okay.
And plus it's, usually for me personally, I'm an animal person. So I think there's just something kind of just therapeutic about just even, petting a dog or petting a horse.
Yeah.
And so there's that component. And it's just really powerful.
Yeah.
And so I was certified through that a year ago. And I've been working with a couple of local nonprofits who have horses. And we've been through grants from the Massey Health Foundation and the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. We've been able to offer some groups for kids and adults. And we've been running those. And thankfully, there are some indoor arenas around here that are heated. So we've been able to do it year round.
Wow.
And so
the clients or the mm-hmm. folks are never on the horse. They're just near the horse.
It is not riding.
Okay.
And so a lot of times when parents call to sign up their child, I always tell them, I'm like, please reiterate that, because I don't want them to be, heartbroken when they get there that they don't get to ride. So it's not riding. It is true psychotherapy that you would get in an office if you went to, another professional. So it's just there's a lot of misinformation and just a lot of misunderstanding about what it is.
Yeah,
but I'd be happy to, and we're always happy to do free demos.
Yeah.
We've done demos for the community, it was Crisis Intervention Team for the first responders and APD, state troopers, Wasilla PD was there, Palmer PD. So that was really fun. There were there were probably 40 people.
Wow.
We did a demo for, and we've done demos for OCS and for the Children's Place staff.
Yeah.
And just to kind of get the word out, have them experience it so that they know what it is.
Right. I'm fascinated by the idea because I grew up with horses. I was thinking about it. I just often describe myself as a horse person, and yet I haven't owned a horse for, 20 years since I left my family's mm-hmm. ranch, right? But I still consider myself a horse person. I truly believe in the value of owning horses, in the responsibility that kids learn and all those things. But when you mentioned equine therapy, I immediately assumed it was a riding therapy. So mm-hmm. it's so interesting to me to think about it in the other way. And I'm completely familiar with those ideas that you can't lie to a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, all growing up, all of my issues, the thing that knew most about my problems as a kid was my horse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I feel the same way because, even at horse shows, you know, you're having a bad day and, you know, all of a sudden your horse is, you know, quote, misbehaving. And no, it's like, yeah, no, it's because of you. You know, they're not that independent thinker, you know, right. So they react to everything around them, including us. And that's just how they live. That's how they survive.
Absolutely.
So
as a kid, our 4-H club, we volunteered with a local organization called Over the Rainbow. And it was a riding therapy for children with physical disabilities. Mm-hmm. And it was an incredible honor for our 4-H club, because often we would get to use our own horse if our horse passed certain tests, et cetera.
Sure.
But that was also an incredible program.
Yeah, and there are a few up here also.
Oh, good.
So they're and so that is the difference. So the riding programs are, it's really like physical therapy.
Absolutely.
For the kids. It's PT and OT.
Yeah.
And there are really great organizations up here who do the riding programs.
Good.
And there's Anchorage in the Valley and Chugiak even.
Good.
So there's lots of resources.
Awesome. Okay, well, I want to remind folks that they're listening to Ag Matters Radio, and this morning my guest is Laura, and we are talking about kind of a unique topic for the show thus far, but we're talking about therapy and how food and experiences, etc., can be a part of that. So let's jump into some of the food side of this, or the nutrition side of therapy. Where do we start?
Well, so I'm going to start again with animals and kind of work our way up the food chain, if you will. So when I first moved back up here, and you know, I was out of college and I had horses, you know, the first thing was, oh gosh, what the heck do I feed them?
Yeah.
You know, and what's different up here than down in Idaho or Oregon or Washington? And so the one thing that I did learn right away was that there we have most of the, if you buy local hay, that we have a lot of iron up here.
Okay.
And so with iron, iron is an antagonist for other minerals and microminerals. So what that means is that the minerals compete for absorption.
Okay.
And so with iron, it tends to block copper and magnesium and phosphorus, for example.
Okay.
And potassium. And so, and those are three really, really key minerals.
Absolutely.
For horses' hooves. So what we found was that when you, a lot of people bring their horses up from the lower 48 and they're healthy and they maybe even bring hay with them and they kind of keep everything the same. But up here, the first thing that I always call the hoof like the canary in the coal mine, because
Absolutely.
It's kind of the first thing to go on the horse up here.
Yeah.
And people get really confused. So what we found is that if you're buying local hay, it's super high in iron, and therefore those other nutrients and minerals don't get absorbed.
Okay.
And so they start seeing hoof problems. So that was kind of a big kind of aha thing. Like, okay, well, if that's affecting an animal, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So then, we found some supplements that worked and their feet have healed and it's gone on. So then it was like, okay, well, I wonder then if, you know, because there is a huge push and it's a great push to buy local and eat local.
Absolutely.
So I thought, well, what about the food up here?
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I'm kind of like, well, I want to buy organic and I want to buy local, but what am I really consuming?
Absolutely.
You know, and as far as I know, I don't know if from the, you know, the vegetable, you know, with the vegetable farmers, do they do nutrient analysis on their foods? I have no idea.
Yeah.
So that's a question
no,
for you.
They don't.
So that's a no.
Yeah.
So in my program with my nutritional therapy program, they've talked a little bit about some of the soil issues around the country. And so in Florida, for example, there are whole groves of orange trees that, because they don't have all the ingredients in the soil, that the oranges don't actually have any vitamin C in them. And that's really why we buy oranges, right?
Sure.
To get vitamin C. So
yeah.
It's kind of like, well, you know, if you're at the grocery store and here you think you're eating healthy.
Yeah.
But you know, what are you really consuming?
Yeah.
And so it's a huge problem across the country, really. And I love the farm to table movement. I would love to be more involved with the farm to school program. I don't even know if that's even around anymore, but
right.
I think it should be, because I think that a lot of these local farmers would love to get their products into the schools. It's fresh. It's not shipped up. There's a whole, there's an ethical side to that too. So, And then this all kind of does relate back to mental health. So here I am thinking I'm eating healthy, but if I'm not getting the nutrients,
right?
You know, how am I supposed to be healthy?
Yeah.
So, you know, physically and emotionally. And so, as we're, so with, through my program, we're going through the different, you know, there's different units and different topics, and it's just really interesting to see how, you know, the neurotransmitters that we have in our brain, you know, the precursors to those are amino acids.
Okay.
And so if you're not consuming the correct amino acids, whether it's from a meat source or from a plant source, you know, your body's going to have a hard time producing what it needs.
Sure.
For healthy mental functioning. And so, you know, and then there's other issues, other challenges up here. So, you know, vitamin D, you know, everybody right. always hears about vitamin D, and, you know, our bodies can produce it with sun exposure. Some people, I've heard both sides of it. Some people say that the angle of the sun up here isn't quite right. And even though we can get a tan, we don't get enough vitamin D, you know, so, you know, most people should supplement with vitamin D. It's really, it's almost impossible to OD on it. I'm not saying that you couldn't, but, you know, so if you, you know, if you, you know, want to find a good vitamin D supplement, I would encourage everybody to do so.
Sure.
You know, check with your doctor, of course.
I'm one of those people, though, that I only take it in the winter. I didn't think that I should be taking it in the summer. I guess maybe this summer I should be because the sun doesn't seem to want to come out. But
I know it's been, but you know, so speaking of weather, this is, I think we've been spoiled the last couple of years.
It's true. People say that.
I know, because I look out, this, I'd say that this summer is what I remember growing up in.
Typical
kind of Alaskan summer.
Yeah.
A little cooler, a little more overcast. But yeah, I miss the sun. I flew out to Florida in February, March. And as soon as I stepped off the plane, it was like, I always tell people, it feels like somebody plugged me into a wall.
Right.
And you like your screen lights up, you know, on your laptop, and you just feel better.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if some of that's like the actual effect of the sun. Or just like the psychological, like, okay, it's sunny out. It's a nice day, you know.
We should be happy.
You should be happy. Amy, you should be happy.
Right. Huh. So. Well, I'm kind of fascinated by this idea of what are we actually eating and is the nutrient content there. When I worked at the Division of Agriculture in 2005 or 6-ish, we brought up a food scientist from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. And she had been involved in a study that the Canned Food Alliance had paid for. And the Canned Food Alliance was trying to prove that sometimes canned food is almost as good as eating fresh food. And they were doing nutritional analysis to prove that. And they were saying, look, fresh is best, but canned food is preserved at its peak of freshness. And so all those nutrients are in that food. So if you can't get fresh, canned is still a very healthy option. But one of the results of that study, and this was not done on Alaskan vegetables, it was done down in California, but one of the results said that, and it was particular to spinach and green beans, because those are often canned items, but it said that for the fresh spinach and green beans, up to 70% of the nutrients were lost within 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we, at the Division of Agriculture, we started using that as part of the reason why we were telling people to choose local vegetables because, you know, spinach and green beans from the lower 48, they certainly don't get here in 3 days. I mean,
right.
It's 7 to 10 days of transport time. But that was kind of proven in this study that even held at preferred temperature, those products lost that much of the nutrients. So it's that same thing that you just said. What are you eating? And why would you eat it? And you think you pay more for organic and you pay more for fresh. And then it turns out that perhaps the nutrients are gone. So.
Right.
Yeah. So now I'm my wheels are spinning like, oh, how do we pay someone to do some studies, particularly on Alaskan products and what's missing, you know?
Yeah. And then, you know, I think too, okay, well then how would you fix that?
Yeah.
You know, the soil is the soil.
Right.
So, which I didn't know. Zero about really, but I mean, really what would be, you know, that's even a bigger issue if you're going to grow up here. So, I'm not saying don't grow.
Sure. Right.
You know, but, it's just something to think about.
Well, and part of me is thinking, and I'm not a soil expert either, but there's a train of thought that tells me, okay, if nutrients, minerals, et cetera, are missing from the soil, the farmer can add those things through composting, through fertilizer, et cetera, because the farmer's goal is to grow the healthiest plant possible.
Right.
But I guess what I'm maybe hearing you say is that the plant could still be healthy, but perhaps missing some of those nutrients that we think should be there.
They could.
Is that, yeah.
They could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So, you know, and I think that's just one of the challenges of living up here.
Yeah.
We're all in it together. And, yeah. You know, what's the best solution for us? And how do we fix those?
Sure.
You know?
Well, first we have to know, right?
Yeah, we'd have to know.
So we have to get some nutritional analysis mm-hmm. done, which, again, my wheels are really spinning about how we could get that done and whose grant money we could use and where we would have to ship things, because mm-hmm. I don't know that analysis could even be done in Alaska if anybody mm-hmm. has the tools up here.
Right.
All right. Side
food for thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to call the director of the Division of Ag as soon as we're done yeah. and be like, all right, Arthur, we got to look at this, because, mm-hmm. you know, he's a huge cheerleader for talking about, you know, how our carrots are 8 times sweeter and our this is that and our mm-hmm. potatoes and all this. But what is it that we don't know? You know, what's the other side of the
what's
story?
What's missing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or what could be missing?
Yeah.
Because maybe they're okay.
Maybe they're perfect. Maybe they're
that would
maybe
be so
better.
Ideal. Maybe they are better.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Huh. Very so. Good.
But just kind of switching back to mental health and nutrition, you know, I do work in the school district,
yeah.
and I've, you know, looking at some of a lot of our students are on a free and reduced lunch.
Sure.
And, you know, that's someplace I think that we could really improve. I know this is kind of on a federal,
sure.
you know, level.
Yeah.
But I know I went to a conference a couple years ago. It was a health and wellness conference in Anchorage, and there was Kodiak had done a fish. I don't remember the name of the program, but yep. they had decided that they were going to ask the local fishermen for some donations.
Yep.
And they got at first they wanted to just once a month on a Friday. I think they did salmon and
yep.
fish Fridays, right?
Yep.
And you know the wonderful woman who was in charge. I do forget her name, but she said, you know, at first our first thing was, well, we need to ask for some donations. Otherwise, this will never happen.
Right.
Well, they ended up with more food. They had to turn people away because they had too much food.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I thought, wow, what a wonderful thing to get more people eating fish. It's local. It's right there. It's fresh.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, you know, we could do the same thing with vegetables up here,
yeah.
you know, and whatever else is grown. So that was, that's kind of like a little pet project that, and I know there's other people working on that. So I'd kind of would like to be more involved with that.
Absolutely.
And get kids eating more vegetables for sure. Because quite frankly, when I was interning at an elementary school, and the kids get off the bus and they walk down the hall and they grab their reduced fat milk. They had literally Fruit Loops in a little cup. They mm-hmm. had an orange. They had graham crackers. I think that was it. I think this little packet. And so I added up the amount of sugar
yeah.
that the kids ate first thing in the morning right off the bus. And it
yeah.
was like 42 grams of sugar before 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was working in the behavior classroom at one of the local elementary schools. And so they have the kids eating there. They do this great morning, you know, pep talk.
Routine.
And like, they're going to
yeah.
send them out to class. And you guys are going to have a good day. And sure enough, an hour later, there's a behavior issue, right? They have their big sugar crash. And I'm thinking, okay, well, we just set them up for failure. That's
yeah.
awful, you
yeah.
know? And so, you know, one thing that I think is missing from a lot of American diets now is fat.
Yeah.
And you know, there's different kinds of fats. You know, there's you know, we can call them healthy or unhealthy.
Sure.
But without eating fat, you don't get fat-soluble vitamins, the A, D, E, and K. And those are especially important for mental health. Those are especially important for the immune system. And so, you know, they're just not going to get those vitamins in a completely 100% carb breakfast,
right.
you know? And so, you know, I would, you know, and I see in being in the schools, you can see the kids and their behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I remember too, you know, and we also know that we have a local the state of Alaska really has a childhood obesity
Absolutely.
Problem.
Yep.
And so, you know, I'm kind of like, I know there's a lot of different factors, but food is a huge component.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I feel like as taxpayers and as the adults in charge of these little souls,
yeah.
that, you know, we need to do a better job of feeding them.
Absolutely.
And there's a whole big animal, you know, with the school lunch program.
Oh man. Yeah.
And it always boils down to money.
It does.
But you know, I really think we can do better. I mean, I really think we can. And it's got to, and I think, wow, you know, the perfect place to start to me would be Palmer.
Yeah. I
because
know.
Because here, you know, we're in this, you know, kind of the mecca of agriculture here.
Right.
And what can we do? How can we do this better? Because I know we can.
We can.
And we're in there's a budget crisis.
Right.
You know, I mean, and I understand that, you know, things take money, but I think we have to do better.
Yeah. I could not agree more. And what a huge beast that is, the school lunch program. But I completely agree that here in Palmer, where our school district is the second largest in the state, and we feed a lot of kids, mm-hmm. sometimes two, if not more, meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we could do better. And I think that the current director over there, Chris, would probably agree with us. He mm-hmm. would probably say that they're constantly trying to improve, mm-hmm. and that the budget side of it is a huge component, since the state does not give the school lunch program any money, so they're mm-hmm. constantly operating in the red.
Mm-hmm.
But the farm to school program at the Division of Agriculture, they proved repeatedly in multiple pilot tests that oftentimes local food is cheaper. We had a cabbage example where at the Fairbanks North Star School District, they purchased heads of cabbage instead of bagged shredded cabbage from the Lower 48. And over time, it was cheaper due to the reduced loss, reduced labor, et cetera, of that local cabbage. Not to mention it tastes so much better
mm-hmm.
because, again, it's one of those products that's sweeter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps better for you. But
most likely.
Man, that makes me want to, connect you more with the farm to school program over at the Division of Ag, because it is an unfunded program right now. But there's still... the Department of Education and the Division of Agriculture have kind of partnered together to find funding to maintain a farm-to-school program position at the Division of Agriculture, hoping that the funding will come back. But so we still have Jody Anderson working on those issues, going out and helping schools that have their own money for their own project, and Jody's just kind of offering that guiding hand. But we don't have the grants that we used to have because mm-hmm. of the budget cut. But mm-hmm. it would be great to get your input over there and start, you know, just more talking about this, because I'm a big believer that the more people know, it's like that Maya Angelou quote, you know better, do better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more people think about this and know about it, the more they go, oh my God, why aren't we doing that? Why don't we have local potatoes at the Mat-Su School District? Mm-hmm. Why don't they strictly use local carrots? Mm-hmm. Why don't they, you know, yeah, I could go on and
yeah.
on and on.
Yes, we could. You know, and the other thing too, with, I know some of the schools, I think it was Valley Pathways, had received a grant, and they were, you know, they were pushing gardening, and,
mm-hmm.
and they, because
yep.
they were like, well, if, you know, because kids, as you know, I mean, if kids help prep a meal, they tend to eat it.
Absolutely.
You know, so if kids help grow the
yep.
food, they're more likely to eat it.
Yep.
And
it's been proven.
It's yeah.
Yep.
And so, you know, with those, you know, thankfully, you know, with the Mat-Su Health Foundation, and some of those things are sometimes hard to sustain, or
yeah.
there's, you know, there's turnover with personnel, and then
yeah.
things kind of fall apart. But I thought, well, you know, just these awesome, you know, there's a huge playground and there's plenty of space
yeah.
for gardening. And I think, was it Mockingtons was doing
yeah.
some gardening?
We have raised, yeah, they
yeah,
have raised beds there. Yeah,
and I know Birch Tree was, yeah, well, I think they had chickens for a while.
Yeah.
Or that was the rumor.
Yeah.
You know, to get fresh, you know, free range eggs. And
yep.
and then there's still that component of that responsibility for kids to and I mean, what an impactful thing, you
yeah.
know, to have that at a young age.
Absolutely. It makes, well, you know, from one perspective is that they're the consumers of the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was at the Alaska Grown program, that was kind of our mentality, is we get into as many schools as we can and we talk to kids about what they eat. Because if we can train them to look for the Alaska Grown logo mm-hmm. and to understand what that means, then when they're 30-somethings doing the grocery shopping, they will look for Alaska Grown, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same thing on the nutritional side of it. If we can, we've done taste tests with kids too.
Mm-hmm.
The Rabbit Creek Elementary School, we did a taste test that ended up making the front page of the Daily News. And it was outside mm-hmm. carrot versus a Vanderweil carrot. And it was resounding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, our time is almost up.
It's so fast.
I know, it went really fast. We actually have to kind of wrap it up. I just got the signal. So okay. Thank you so much
for welcome.
Being a guest this
Thanks
morning on Ag
me.
Matters. I feel like we could go on and on and on with more. But how can we stay in touch with this topic, Laura, and kind of watch as more information comes out?
Well, I hope this was my first venture into public
okay.
putting myself out there.
Yeah.
So I think you had asked me if I had a website. I don't have a website, but I do have a Facebook page for
okay.
my business. It's Integrative Wellness Solutions is
okay.
the name of my business. my office is actually down the street, right above Cover Up Designs. That's where my office psychotherapy happens.
Very good.
And so people can find me through the Facebook page, and feel free to contact me contact me about any other connections or resources that we can work together with in the future. That
Absolutely.
Would be wonderful.
We'll be watching for more.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.